going to go ahead and start this off right
was
now.
Was it right when I said Schleprock?
Yes.
Yeah, that was
yes.
pretty good.
Right when you said Schleprock. So let's go ahead live right here, right now. Trying this out with OBS, trying to do multi-stream right now, so please bear with us. Here goes nothing. Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. You got that so far, Joe? It's Gerald Glassford. I hope I'm not a Schleprock from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, of course, everyone at LakersBall.com. Go ahead and check out Ox1947 every single day. He's right there, commenting as only he can at LakersBall.com. Plus, also as well, the number one Lakers blogger, Laker Tom. You can find him and also Jamie Sweet in his 5 Things articles right there for you at LakerHolics.com. Go ahead and be part of the conversation that those two are always having with each other at LakerHolics.com. And it does go off the rails quite a bit there, so check that out at LakerHolics.com. Those are good friends of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And also, we're doing this live on both Facebook and YouTube, so go ahead and like the Facebook page. I'm trying to go ahead and give some love to our former main home of where the Lakers Fast Break first started, Facebook. So giving some love out there, plus also go ahead and giving some love to everyone out there on YouTube. So if you can subscribe today, right below Sean, we've gotten a lot of new subscribers lately, and it's greatly appreciated. So if you can do all that, plus our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, you asked for it out there. We thought we'd touch on some NBA observations after the first few days and the first weekend of NBA action. NBA action is going on right as we speak here at the Lakers Fast Break. A lot of good games in progress right now, including the fact that I think that the 76ers will get their first win of the season ahead of the Lakers. Now, that's something we talked about on last night's recap. As far as get their first win first, it looks like it's going to be the 76ers because they're ahead of Indiana and pulling away. There's also, as well, we got a lot of things to talk about when it comes to the NBA. But since the topic on all the podcasts seemed to be the 0-3 Lakers, and since all the talk is about Russell Westbrook and what the Lakers are not doing with him and instead are doing with him in keeping him out there on the floor, I'm going to go ahead and hear once again the thoughts of Joe Soro and Sean Grice. But first off, it is the Magic Man, the Madman from Toronto, the guy getting out of Toronto traffic. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing here today for our Lakers Fast Break and hopefully down the road our watch parties whenever we can get that started, whenever Playback TV gives us the mother may I to go ahead and do so. It is Sean Grice. Sean, I know you were in the chat, all over the chat, and I appreciate you going to the chat in order to go ahead and let everybody know what your thoughts on the Russell Westbrook situation, but seeing the debacle that you saw and the poor choice and going to Lakers Twitter, it just cheers me up when I go there and I see all the memes and the gifts. I actually was forwarding some to you guys last night. I was telling you, go ahead and hit there. I like the ones that say, you know, JFK and Tupac. They would be around if Westbrook was the shooter. You know, all the other ones that were in there as well. I like all the memes. They cheered me up after a tough game yesterday. But your thoughts on Russell Westbrook? This situation has gotten a lot worse, and it doesn't look to get any better.
Gerald,
The whole social media went buck wild last night on us. I mean, it was just, I agree with you. But when you sent me that email, the first about laughing about all this, the first image I got was Gerald reminds me of the comedian from The Watchmen, like the original movie where he's just, he laughs at chaos and violence and it's just, it's very humorous to him. And I kind of got similar vibes, Gerald. I got to be honest.
That's Lakers Twitter, my friend. That's just Lakers Twitter.
It's a knife party. It was a knife party. That's for sure. There's no doubt about it. So it's really either one or two options. Either you go all in the knife fight, or you just stay away. And I agree with you, Gerald. well earned. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Russ is, I'm losing the ability to capture the right synonyms to describe just how bad his shooting is. Abysmal, putrid, stinky, stunk, as Boris Karloff said in The Grinch. I mean, it's just, it's awful. You know, I remember us discussing this before the season started, Gerald, and I brought up the suggestion if you thought the right idea would be just to sit him.
Well, that was not just brought up by me. That was brought up by a lot of people.
I realized that, but early on in the summer, you were one of the first people in the media to start talking about it seriously, about the Lakers just having a frank discussion with him about staying home.
And welcome back, Denver Nuggets, baby. Just wanted to say God bless to you as well, my friend. Thanks for so much for hopping back on with us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But continue, my friend. Continue, Sean.
Yes, and you know, I think maybe that would have been the better decision, Gerald. I realize hindsight is 20/20, but Joe described it perfectly and succinctly last year when he described what we saw last year as the worst abomination he's ever seen as a Laker fan. And I agree 100%. And we're rolling down the tracks right now at the same thing. It's the same brick wall we're heading towards. And we can try and find another set of tracks to go off. But it starts with, like Joe said, an exodus of Russ.
Hello, Terrence
That's
Harvey.
That's what needs to happen. It's the exodus of Russ. That's what we're dealing with right now.
It is very tough to watch right now. Again, for someone who is a former MVP, someone who was so much a part of the last decade as far as one of the top players in the league, someone who had a style in Oklahoma City that an offense that was really catered to his gifts as an athlete, unfortunately, it's just not meshing here. I said, and I have been saying since the trade, that his style is not a fit for the modern NBA. The style of the modern NBA has evolved beyond what Russell Westbrook is good or even efficient at. It's not a reflection of him, it's just a reflection on who he is as a player at this point in time. It's just something that doesn't work. You just, you know, okay. His style is just not meshing well, not just with the Lakers, but with this current scheme of the NBA. But also here today to talk about the game as a good man indeed, or excuse me, about what's going on with the NBA as a good man indeed. It is Joe Sorrow, the man behind LakersBall.com as Ox1947. And Joe, I will say again, it's been a rough watch so far as Russell Westbrook. He's not totally to blame. Let's not just throw all this on Russell Westbrook for the 0-3 start. There are a lot of mitigating factors. I think it starts up on top and then works its way down. But when, as I've said last year, it's not just one area of the organization that's not doing well that's the cause for the Lakers' troubles. It's a whole, like you said, a whole embodiment of what's going on as an organization.
Yes, to a degree. However, Rob and Jeannie don't play basketball. And no one's telling Russell Westbrook to take a jump shot with 30 seconds left when you're up one. I had this discussion with a Laker fan friend of mine today. He said the same thing pretty much you said. Well, it's an organizational problem. I said, yeah, but 90% of the problem is Russell Westbrook.
You notice I didn't have a pie chart to say, you know, exactly.
This is beyond bad shooting. This is a festering cancer. He is, all you need to do is see the clips of, heck, the clip of post-game Anthony Davis, someone who's usually pretty articulately calm and cerebral, who looked like me for the first time. Was just like, you could see a scowl on his face. When you see that, you know it's more than just missing a shot. And the issue with the top part, which is management, is they don't have enough fortitude to cut it. Just don't want to do it. And until they do it or trade them, there's nothing else you guys can do. You can save yourselves the headache, at least, of not having to answer the questions of Russell Westbrook, at the very least, and just let him sit home. And I'm pretty sure that you get rid of that problem. We might not make the playoffs, but I know that we're not going to be stressed every game. It's a stressful watch. It's a stressful watch. You don't know what this guy's going to do to sabotage the game. And it's tiring at this point. Make a decision, for God's sakes. More wrong is done by indecision than wrong decision. So let's use that line for our current situation. They made a wrong decision. It happens. It's okay. Yes, it sucks. We've killed 2 years out of it. Get over it already. But their indecision to getting rid of the problem is what's eating and killing the team even more. So at what point? So if anybody's going to learn a lesson in life from this, let's put a positive spin here. I usually like to use some form of a negativity and turn it into a positive and use it as a life lesson. Why? Because I care. You guys know, I care. I care. Until I don't care. I don't care what Russell Westbrook does on the court anymore. Yeah, I already seen enough. Time to move on. Now.
But the problem is they're not moving on. There's no trade that's been announced today. I don't expect anything tomorrow.
No, it doesn't. No, they're not going to do anything. And that's part of the problem, right? That's the problem why these guys keep making bad decisions, because they're indecisive. They're indecisive in making the call. So let this be a lesson. Laker fans, our Utah, our Denver fans that watch the show, anyone who's watching the show, even if you're not a fan of any team, if you're going to learn a lesson from this, is this is what happens when you're indecisive. Make a decision. Make a decision. Even if it's wrong, it's okay. You get on with the next step. If you're indecisive, this is what happens. It lingers. It festers. It cancerizes. It turns into a deeper cancer until what? Until we're 0-6? What's the difference right now between 0-3 and 0-6? You're talking about basically, if you don't make a decision now, 0-6 means you're never going to get above 500 this year.
Well, let's just put last year for an example as far as New Orleans. They started, what, 1-13, 1-12, I think?
They were 1-12, you know.
Okay, yeah. And they never made it back to 500, even though they had that great playoff run, which, you know, they held their own in the first round and made it very exciting. But they never, correct me if I'm wrong, they never got back to 500. Is that correct?
No, they did not.
Well, I think that tells
you
right there.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult to, in this league right now, with the way it is, to win, let's say, 5 to 10 games more than the previous season. It's usually hard. So let's say if you're a 50-win team, let's say you go 50-32. It's hard to get to 55-56.
The Lakers would have to go 8 games above what they did last year just to get to 500.
And that's – and the other thing is I have to reiterate this. First of all, You have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on your team. This team should not be sucking this bad. So you know it's mental. Yes, they're missing shots at a historic rate. But we've seen that happen in the past in terms of they're not making shots. And then, you know, something balances out in some way. They'll still stink at it. We're not going to be shooting 8% from the three, a three like Westbrook is. Westbrook has given us a year and change of the same stuff. At what point are you going to figure it out that this is not going to work? At what point? What is the difference? Try something else. Sit him down. Call it a day. Call it a year. Call it a career. Let your young guys, let LeBron and AD rest and not have to go to a press conference and hold their tongue, because they know as soon as they say something, all the yahoos in that room and all the jackholes on Twitter, Instagram, whatever the hell, they're going to go, oh, LeBron is this. Now, I'm not a LeBron apologist. You guys know I've gotten on LeBron for some of the things he's done. But yes. this would not be one of them, though. If LeBron was in a press conference and said, this guy sucks, I'd be the first guy to go stand next to LeBron and go, thank you, LeBron. That was what a leader does. Thank you.
Well, did you get a chance to see the reactions of both him and AD when he did take that ill-advised shot?
When they played, yeah, they had a wide shot.
They stretched it out, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't need to watch that. I felt it, and we said this in the last show. We're guys sitting at home watching this as fans. Imagine you're LeBron. You're in the gym, okay? You're eating cod and bass and salmon and all this food, so your body is on it, at its optimum level. You have AD, who's had to deal with, you know, guys like Charles Barkley, who never won squat, calling them street clothes. He's got to deal with that and trying to come back and play the way he's supposed to play. And you're going through all that stress and all that preparation and all that headache to watch the guy that's making more money than you take one of the dumb – made Kwame Brown look like Jason Kidd. Russell Westbrook makes Kwame Brown look like Jason Kidd. That's how bad he is. It's not just the shooting. It's this up here. Then he wanted to fight a fan. What is this? How old is this guy, 34? When is this guy going to mature and grow up? This is a disease, guys. You can't expect. They're not going to win with this guy on the team. So let him go. Sit him. You got to pay him. That's part of the CBA. You got to pay these guys. They have mental illness. They have mental this. They want to go play video games instead of going to the games. You still got to pay him. Fine. Just send him home. Call it a night. Call it a career. And then try to salvage whatever's left of this year. And hopefully something happens, you can trade him before the deadline. Other than that, guys, you keep that guy in the game. I don't know if they're going to win a game in the next seven games anyways.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I see the potential for basically like another Netflix kind of paradigm shift where here comes this other major player. They have a ton of resources. Apple could change the way that entertainment is consumed.
They say it's the only time this year that you'll have stars from each brand battling each other. And we know it's not going to be the case, but they like to say that, and more power to them, I guess.
Well, it's a big first step, bringing all those superheroes together. There were definitely some parts of the movie that I really enjoyed, and then there were some parts that I thought just kind of fell short of expectation.
Part of it has to be something to do with how it's being promoted, and this is a thing where audiences do not agree with critics.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse, every week on Apple Podcasts.
And over a dozen of your favorite streaming and podcasting options. Hey, Lakers fans, looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than Lakerholics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
I'll just say this. I've never met the man. I've seen him in town a few times. We're speaking about Charles Barkley. But people talk around the city, and he's one of the most generous tipping celebrities you'll ever hear about. $400 tips, and I know the money isn't what's important here. What's important here is the man is generous. And I get it, Joe. That character he plays on TV, it can kind of rub people the wrong way. But Emmy Award winning performances, man. It's just a character he plays. But I understand how people think about him that way. But I think we've had it with Russ. I mean, to me, I understand that everybody wants to have a grand discussion about the brick road to hell right now that we're going through. But like Joe said, I mean that story's been told already. Let's turn the page.
You mentioned Jason Kidd. So I think that with Jason Kidd, he's a great shooter. He still managed to chuck up, one of the all-time.
Took him a long time to learn how to shoot well.
He's one of the all-time top 10 3-point makes, not percentage-wise, but makes. I know that he's in the all-time top 10 list, but he was never thought of as a great shooter. When it comes to Russell Westbrook, though, the difference is, even if he wasn't a good shooter, Jason Kidd was still respected for his on-court awareness and his mind as far as out there on his way to go ahead and perceive what is going on the basketball court and make the right play, make the right call, and make the right decision for his basketball team. Let me finish. When it comes to Russell Westbrook, you're not just seeing the poor shooting, you're seeing the poor judgment calls on top of it. And this is what is irking, I think, a lot of people out there. It's the fact that you're not getting any residual positives from Russell Westbrook when he's out on there.
It's bad. It's bad. It's really bad. I'm starting to feel for Luna, one of our viewers. After I finished my last sentence, I am over this, guys. And I'm going to cut this short so that Sean can talk. I'm done with Russell Westbrook. It's over. So like that story I told you about the wedding that I didn't go to, guys, I'm not going to get into the details, but my guys know at some point you got to put your foot down and just call it a day. I'm done with Russell Westbrook. It's over. I already know the end of the story. Done.
John, any last thoughts? And we'll touch on the NBA for the rest of the show.
Yeah, no, Gerald, I was, that's a pretty, that was an interesting comparison Joe made. I would say the antithetical player to what Russell Westbrook has become would be Tony Parker. Similar athleticism. They both came into the NBA, couldn't shoot a jump shot worth a lick. Tony Parker learned how to shoot a jumper. Tony Parker learned how to run an offense. Tony Parker learned the hard way. Greg Popovich was extremely hard on him. He was a young player as well. And like Russell Westbrook, he had a lot of immaturity. But Tony Parker understood that I need to be a, like Joe said, a leader. I need to be a better shooter when I need to shoot. I need to be a great facilitator when it's called upon. And he did everything that Pop asked him to do throughout his career. As Joe said, Russ, kind of antithetical to that, in my opinion, while having otherworldly athleticism and just tremendous guts. And as Stone Cold Steve Austin would say, testicular fortitude. There comes a certain time
he also
when
he said a couple other things every now and then.
Yeah, he did. But
something about 316.
Yeah, this is a family show, Gerald. But anyway, like Joe was saying, at a certain point in time, the switch has to be flipped. You have to make better judgments. You have to understand situational awareness and what's the best play to make, not necessarily what's the best shot to take.
Yeah, and Zangerstein, thank you so much for chiming in as well. You know, this is not about Russell Westbrook, the person, the individual. He does a lot of good things for the community. He gives back as far as his charity for the fashion stuff he does. And, you know, that is to be commended. I'm sure he's got a great family, and I'm hoping for him a long and happy life. This is not about him as far as an individual. As a player, he's already got his ticket already to the Hall of Fame already set. First ballot, Hall of Famer, no question about it. This is just about who he is at the
now.
Start. Yes. And right you're now. And you're right, Zangerstein. Athleticism wanes. You know, he's 34. He's not as fast. He's not as quick. He can't jump as high as he once did. And he hasn't come to grips with that yet. The fact is, he's never been a great shooter. I already said on the show many times exactly that he's one of the statistically the worst 3-point shooters of all time, given the number of takes that he's made. And it's just not going to change. Problem is, his shot has gotten or stayed the same or even gotten worse. And his athleticism has gotten worse, and that's just a bad combination. As you get older, your shot is supposed to get better. Your outside shot, your technique, your form, you should have been able to go ahead and get in the gym enough times to go ahead and work on it to the point where, like Carmelo. Carmelo transformed his game from what he did to the 40% 3-point shooter that he was at various times in the past 3-4 years that he's been able to play. So, yeah, unfortunately, we're just not seeing it right now from Russell Westbrook. It's just a time where I think the game has passed him on by.
Yes, 100%, 100%, Gerald. Today, you know, a front office is basically looking at, you know, 1,000 different spreadsheets on how to increase their efficiency in just about every statistical category that's possible. And Russell, at his age, with his waning athleticism, with his broken shot, he doesn't fit into any of those blueprints.
He's cared more on defense this season, and I will give him credit for that. And BDA Pink says he's still athletic than most point guards. That may be the case, but for his style, as Joe said, he's missing layups right and left. He's not able to shoot. He's just not able to get where he wants to go.
Gerald, I remember the great Clive Davis, the music producer, said that every bright star eventually burns out. And that's just what happens. It happens eventually. Yep. Like we've seen it time and time and time again. And this is just what's happening to him right now. And you know, I'm more concerned that, like Joe said, the buck stops with Jeannie Buss. And as she said in the past, she's not the brightest bulb when it comes to basketball. Admittedly, if anybody else off the street went to that position, even with a casual knowledge, or even genies, they say the same thing. What I'm trying to say is that she did an interview earlier where she was basically, she was laughing and scowling at us for questioning, you know, the brain trust of that organization. She's questioning why we're questioning why Linda Buss and Kurt Rambis are integral decision makers in a room, in a four-walled room that requires precise analytical thinking. And what the hell does Linda Rambis know about basketball? If Jeannie admits she doesn't know much about it, what the hell does she know? And I respect Kurt Rambis's NBA career, but I saw him and I remember him as a coach with the Minnesota Timberwolves and the New York Knicks. He wasn't good. I never really felt like guys laid it out on the line for him the way they did for Phil. And he's making decisions. And of course we're going to be skeptical. And of course we're going to question whether or not these people should be involved. Yeah, it doesn't involve us. It's just our sweat equity and our tier equity as fans. That's all it is. But that's how the Buss family makes their money right now, is through our sweat and tears. And what is really frustrating and really, really sad is that she, from that interview, I feel like she doesn't really care.
See what happens as this saga for Russell Westbrook continues. Let's see if I can reach out to Laker Tom, because I know Laker Tom wants to talk a little bit more about it. Bring him in on Tuesday, so for Tuesday with Laker Tom on it. But we will be back on Wednesday for sure to talk about what's going on with the Lakers for the post game of the Nuggets. At least, you know, somebody will be here to man the ship for the Lakers fast break on Wednesday night after the Denver Nuggets game. I'm hoping Joe and Tom can pull it through no problem without any type of issues or concerns. I can rest easy there for you. But before we head on out, we're going to be doing a nice long discussion on the NBA, because Paul and so many others have asked for our thoughts on the NBA. We must know the Lakers. We must know the NBA as well, because if you don't know the Lakers, you don't know the NBA. So right now, after the first few days of the NBA, we've got you like that little – trying to get something out of Joe right there for you. But with the NBA a few days in, we're already seeing some different things than what we expected. Joe, your thoughts on this, a team that you have seen that surprises you, because I've got a couple in mind. I mean, we could already go into, like, you know, the Celtics going off, well, until tonight, you know, going 3-0 until tonight. We could talk about, you know, some of the, like, the Nuggets going into Golden State and beating the Golden State Warriors. You know, those two teams are still good. But tell me a team that is surprising you right out of the gate, because I think there's a lot of good stories so far in the NBA.
I mean, how can you not mention the Utah Jazz?
And I love all the Danny Ainge memes. Paul, if you're listening, the Danny Ainge memes on Twitter are just killer.
So let's not delve into the obvious. That's easy. Oh, they're playing good team ball. And Jordan Clarkson's playing well. And blah, blah, blah. But we talk about fortitude. You know, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, these are professional basketball players, right? They're professional. They're professionals. There's not one guy in the league that's not really, really good at playing basketball. There are some that are better than others. We know that. But these guys seem to have taken it personally that they are going to stink. And you have a group that's being, I guess, led by Danny Ainge and the coaching staff and a city to not stink. And they're coming through because they're like, we don't care about the lottery. We're going to play to win. And you don't really see that a lot, really, especially in the NBA. So I think that's the surprise. It's a surprise that, wow, we're finding some NBA players here that are actually sacking up. are crying to their mommies and their PlayStations like Ben Simmons?
Yeah, right now they're down against Houston, but still 3-0 to start off with. That's very impressive for a team that, you know, everybody had pegged, and including Danny Ainge as well.
It's still early.
Yeah.
You know, they could end up losing 10 in a row.
Yeah.
But it's nice that they came out and they beat some good teams too.
Danny Ainge could tell them all, you guys are all injured. There you go.
Well, maybe Danny Ainge might just say, look, if you guys don't start losing, I'm going to trade for Russell Westbrook and not ask for draft picks.
Oh, he's got a rash on his foot. He's got a rash on his foot.
Out for 2 months.
Fasciitis.
Yeah.
That's playing for shyness.
And then we're going to have Adam Silver sit there and say, well, we've solved the problem, sort of, with adding 8 more teams to the playoff hunt. Adam Silver, unfortunately, this is sad for me to say because I've really liked Adam. I thought for a moment there he was the best commissioner in sports. But boy, did the pandemic really jack him.
Way up.
It really, really just destroyed
credibility.
Yeah. And he did the right thing during that time, even though it wouldn't have been something I did. But by doing it, he opened the door to entitlement. And what that means is anytime he didn't make the right call again for certain people, they were going to question him and say, oh, so you're with them kind of attitude. Mm. When in fact, those guys should have been backing him up because he still has a league he has to look over. He still has the owners to appease. He's got all this stuff going on that you hired this guy to run a basketball league, not to be the president of the United States. So I think seeing that press conference for Sarver, he looked about as uncomfortable as I've ever seen him look, as uncomfortable as I've ever seen him look. And usually he's always dapper Adam. He knows what he's doing, but he knew he's a lawyer. He knew this was a different situation. And of course, the public being the scumbags that they are a lot of the times, and the entitled a-hole players, the entitled people that they are sometimes, they didn't really, and this is the part, guys, we were talking about this off air, when you think you know what's going on and you don't, or you act like you know what you're doing or what you're saying, you don't know jack crap, okay? The differences between what happened before with Clipperman and Sarver is there was verbal
apes.
He's a lawyer. You guys tell me you're doing your research. You're not. You guys are all like John Wayne Gacy. John Wayne Gacy comes in there and starts yapping about, oh, I had nothing to do with this. 5 minutes later, he's like, yeah, I put him in there.
What is it? The Jazz, though.
The Jazz? I know I kind of veered off, didn't I?
He did. I think you were just ready anyway. Oh, this is discussing about the NBA. I can go off on this rant right there.
Yeah, no, that Joe was on to something there. He was.
Well, it turns into we're talking about why the Utah Jazz.
We got
somebody here that's alive, and then I'm trying to point it at a comparison of what's been happening before and how all that stuff ends up kind of polluting the brain.
It's the little engine that could right now. Look, Gerald, we're Lakers fans, right? But you always root for the underdog. You always root for the underdog because you never see him coming. And like Joe said, Utah Jazz, they're reading all the articles about what the analysts are saying. I mean, they're professional athletes. These are their peers. This is their critical reviews. And like Joe said, they see they're going to finish in last place. They're going to be in the lottery. And like Joe said, they took it personally. They took it beneath the stomach to the cockles below there. And that's where they summoned some courage. And you
did
play
you say cockles.
I said cockles. Yes.
Never did I think that cockles would be part of the Lakers fast break.
Well, it's actually a definable medical term, Gerald. It's
absolutely
perfectly acceptable.
No, actually, I have a nurse in the house and 2 budding nurses. So yeah.
All right. Yeah. So they are surprising. You know, another surprising team that I didn't think would get a lot of buzz right now is...
You have to start with San Antonio and has to end yes, the Spurs.
Yes, yes.
They're up right now in the fourth quarter by 27 over Minnesota, who is at home in Minnesota, one of the teams that many expected to win 50-plus games this year. So I think that's a great surprise for Spurs now going to be in one, be a team that was also supposed to be among the worst, if not the worst, NBA rosters that are out there. So this has just been a story, again, like Joe said, they're playing with a lot of heart. Looks like Pop doesn't have the same type of timeline that the front office has in creating a loser or a tanker, which is amazing to see, and it actually is a pleasant surprise. Like Joe says, when you're watching the Jazz, or you're watching the Spurs, or you're watching the Trailblazers, who are now undefeated, you know, with just supposed to be these guys that may be a mediocre team at best, and they're doing really well to start the season.
And here's the thing. Unlike Bill Belichick, Popovich has actually got the veto power from ownership, where he can get into a room with those board of governors and say, look, we're not tanking. That's not my style. And that's not what we do in my locker room. We develop players, and I'm trying to win. And they concede to him on every level, Gerald. He wasn't really looking to take over the coaching responsibilities in the mid to late 90s, but he did it. He didn't really want to tell R.C. Buford not to let Tim Duncan walk out of the building, but he had to intercede there because Tim was ready to sign with the Orlando Magic, but that's another story. But it's just an example of who Pop is. It's why I respect him and why I think he is the greatest NBA coach ever. I really do think that. Phil's got the rings. Phil is a great coach. But to me, the big difference was Pop could take somebody off the G League or off the street and turn them into a 12-8-4 player and have them get a second NBA contract. Phil won a lot with superstars, with very good role players. Pop has done a lot of his greatest work with...
I agree with BDA, though. They could have got a better package for Kawhi.
Oh, 100%, Gerald. But let's be honest about what that was. They didn't want to deal with the Lakers. So they took the next best deal possible.
But he just wanted to get out of there because there's
from a small Gerald, from a small market team. Because remember, a lot of people forget this, but there are certain organizations who deal with other organizations. For example, the Lakers and Rockets deal a lot with each other. The Lakers and the Hornets have dealt with each other a lot. The two teams that dealt with each other a lot since they were an expansion team were the Raptors and Spurs. So it was easy to see Masai Ujiri sweeping in and doing something like that. Gerald, if there's a disgruntled NBA superstar out there right now, my prediction would be that the one team that would swoop in like the Raptors did is the Nuggets. The Nuggets have the depth, they have the draft picks, and they can create the salary cap space. I know the Clippers can do the exact same thing, Gerald. I understand. But to me, Denver offers more in the way of top-heavy depth.
Denver has more picks. I think I disagree with you on the depth. I think that Denver has decent depth. They are one of the better teams in the league, but there's no one that beats the Clippers on 1-15. And you could just throw a package in there as far as older, experienced players at good contracts and younger players with a lot of potential that are on the back end that don't even get a chance to play, like Boston and Mann. those kids can play, and they will never see the light of day in the Clippers because of the fact that they're just so deep. So I'm not sure about that, but you know, then also Denver probably has more picks than the Clippers does because the Clippers don't have much in the way of picks, much like the Lakers.
Yeah, no, the Denver can trade away multiple first rounders.
Yeah, the Clippers
and can. But here's the thing though, too, Gerald. Denver also owns first round picks from other teams as well.
Yeah.
So that's extremely valuable.
That would be the more likely scenario.
The icing on the cake, right?
If you're trading for cash, you're going to go with the Clippers because, like Tom says, they've got all those tradable contracts. But if you're trading for the future, then you would look to Denver. But I want to ask Joe on this in regards to a team that could surprise in the Eastern Conference, the New York Knicks, who are now 2-1. I mean, I don't want to say, okay, it's ready to go ahead and party in New York, but I think the Jalen Brunson signing actually is going to turn out to be a lot better than what people had anticipated. Not that he's a great player per se, but I think he brings a winning attitude. The fact that the kid's an overachiever in and of himself, as far as I think a second rounder that's come back to really play well at a high level. And I think he's a pretty good above average point guard. And it's just the fact that what he brings to the team, a new mentality. I think I'm seeing it start off with a comeback for Julius Randle, who's been sensational this year. He's been as sensational as he was two seasons. So your thoughts on the Knicks, my friend, because again, this is a team that could surprise. I'm not going to say as far as in the top part of the East, but a team that actually could surprise by sneaking into a playoff spot.
It's too early, G.
I'm seeing so far, though.
Tom Thibodeau is a 90s NBA coach that somehow treaded the the modern basketball era. And the only way he would continue to be, I mean, it wears you out. It wears you out. It wears this particular group out. And I say group as in the current talent turned mentality of the NBA player, which is sad because, Pat Riley, you could say Tom Thibodeau is like a Pat Riley type. Work, 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 hard, 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 all day, every day. And I had told you guys about the statistic that I had read to you about the 1992 New York Knicks. All but one guy played 82 games. And I say all of their starters and their regulars that are coming off the bench. I mean, just imagine that. That's a Pat Riley coach team in 1992, and you have eight guys playing all 82 except for one who played 81. And you would think that the grind and the hard practices and the steelhead type of games that they played at that time, you would think, wow, these guys must have been made of steel. Tom Thibodeau has that effect, and he can inspire. The problem is, I don't know how long it's going to last. And as good as Brunson is, he's still a very good player. He is not a star player.
Yeah, and nor was I insinuating that. I just think
I think you were insinuating it, and I'm going to correct.
No, I said he was above average point guard.
You said he was the next Michael Jordan, and now I'm going to correct. Just kidding. It's too early. It's too early. There are some surprises. I think Portland being 3-0. Utah being 3-0.
Are you holding stock on the Sixers, who are just
the Sixers? I believe if they don't fix this thing by game 41, they're really bad. We might see Doc Rivers go bye bye.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. That seat will get pretty hot if it starts shaping things up. I mean, they won tonight, but against Indiana, a team that's supposed to be, which is. Also been kind of surprising so far. Ben Mathurin right now is my leading candidate for the rookie year going in four games. Sorry to Paolo Banchero fans because he's been doing awesome as well, but I really think Ben Mathurin's been a treat. If you ever get a chance to see him on the highlights on YouTube, please go ahead and I think he's going to be a real star. Yeah, I know he got burned and toasted by James Harden today on a move. I know he's all over Twitter right now, but if you look at the big picture, he's way above expectations. So I think Indiana has got something to look, obviously, outside after they tanked this year. But I want to ask you guys in regards to the West Coast and to the Western Conference. You saw the Nuggets the other night handle Golden State in Golden State. Sean, do you take anything from that game? It's maybe a little bit too early, but then again, this was the team that both Joe and I agree upon. It has a really bright future season.
No, I agree. I agree. I don't think it's everything, but it's iron against iron, right? It's you're sharpening steel on steel to see if you got the chutzpah to last with these guys. And Denver believes. I think if the Joker were on my team, I would believe we had a chance to win every game, Gerald. Honestly, with the way he plays, the way he can control the pace of the game. He can not only control the pace, he controls the style as well. It could be a fast pace of the Joker, or it could be half court. He really can decide what style of play a game goes towards. Now, I would argue that, you know, Steph and his style of play is, even though it's MVP versus MVP, I would say Steph's style is a little bit stronger than the Joker's. So I would think the Joker would need some help down the stretch in a seven-game series. I think they need a little bit more perimeter depth, Gerald, in order to compete with Golden State. I think also, you know, you have Michael Porter Jr. with injury history, and man, you never know with a back. You have the backup, I believe, is, oh my God, DeAndre Jordan. So you need some big man depth. Definitely, they'll be in the mix in the buyout market for a big man for sure, because you can't rely on DeAndre Jordan in the playoffs. No way. And one more thing, Gerald. I'd like to ask you a question on behalf of Raptors fans everywhere. If you redid the 2020 draft, is Scotty Barnes number three, Gerald? Or is he number two?
Well, a good friend of the show, Rafael Barlow, once was quoted second or the minute that he drafted on air, and something he'll never be able to escape. Like, why do you waste the number five pick? He was the number five pick.
Yes, he was the number five pick.
Why do you waste a number five pick on a guy? And the thing is, though, with him, he might be a glue guy, but he's a superior glue guy. I really think as his game matures, he'll be able to be someone that's going to be that. I can do pretty much everything that you need. Need me to score a few, I can score a few. Go ahead and be a facilitator, I can do that. If you need me to be a lockdown defender at four different positions, I can do that. That's what I see him evolving. That's how he's going to become a really great player in this league. But will he average 25 points in a season? I don't think so. I'm just going to say offhand, I don't think so, because it's not asked. The team doesn't ask him. The team has got a lot of scores on the team with Trent and Anobi and Siakam. They don't really need for him to go ahead and do that. They need him to be a glue guy plus. I mean, Rafael was right in a sense that he is a glue guy, but he is somebody that's a glue guy in such a major way that makes that whole organization, that whole team, click to a higher level than they did before.
Well, see, and that's what a lot of fans don't really understand, Gerald, is that you and Raf said that, and I respect the man because
I'm just was quoting
him. He's good at what he does. But the Raptors played in Florida that whole season.
But when he meant it like it was just a waste of a pick at fifth.
No. I get it. I get what he was saying. But actually, he was taking fourth. Suggs was three. Green was two. And okay. Obviously, well,
his idea was that he thought it was
right. Why are you wasting a pick on a glue guy?
Yeah.
But you see, Gerald,
that's just a complimentary rotational player.
Yes. But see. People said the same thing when the Phoenix Suns drafted Cam Johnson. Why are you taking Cam Johnson so early? Why? Well, we know why. There was a fit. He was available. They took him. He is one of the most solid rotational players you have in the NBA. So sometimes when it just feels right, you got to do it. You got to do it.
Well, once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. It's Gerald Glasser along with Joe Sorrell and the Magic Man, Sean Grice. So happy that he's actually got a good connection here. We're trying it out on StreamYard, and it seems to be going well. Appreciate everybody watching on YouTube and Facebook. If you haven't done already, please like our Facebook page and also subscribe to our YouTube channel to get the latest notifications, especially on YouTube when we go on air, and our special showings on Facebook whenever we can go ahead and do that as well. But Joe, I want to go ahead and hear from you. Anything outside of, I know, again, it is early, and we're just getting some early observations, but see anything arising so far out of the West that has caught your eye? Because, of course, we see with the Lakers, it's already become a drama-filled thing. I know in Brooklyn, it looks like they're going to go ahead and be down one. They're going to go have a record of 1-2, and things are really not looking good right now in Brooklyn, but it's not panic time there yet like it is in L.A. Is there anything, observations that you have on the Western Conference that you really wanted to go ahead and point out?
I have a feeling the Golden State Warriors are not going to be as good as you think they're going to be.
Did that Denver game do it for you?
No, I just, you know, if we didn't have the deadhead on this team, I think we would be 2-1 right now. And I was not really impressed, we should have won those games.
I agree with you and both you and Tom on that, because Tom said the same thing.
Golden State is, this last couple of years have been the first time I can remember, even though they were favorite and all that, but to see in Dallas kind of take out a 64-win team the way they did, I know it's happened before, but I felt like not at that kind of dominance at home and things like that. It's a very rare thing to happen. And the league is turning into more of a parity type league. And that's might be what the NBA eventually wanted to happen. I don't know how it's possible for that to happen because it's, you know, talent is so, or at least elite talent, it's too important for winning. I'd say if I had to put a prediction down, I have a feeling that the Golden State Warriors are not going to repeat and not going to be as good as they were last year. And I just think they kind of hit the right stride at the right moment. They played probably the right team, even though the Celtics, I believe, would have beat any team out West except Golden State. I think the matchup there was perfect for them. I don't know. I've been so used to watching a dominant team year in, year out, knowing that these guys are going to go into the finals and face another team that's, you know, somewhat going, you know, projected to go there, and seeing what happens. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of a transition where anyone can win now. It's I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that right now.
I can't say I disagree with you. Obviously, losing Otto Porter and especially Gary Payton, very much part of their why that they're so good. I really think that.
Well, I think
the Gary Payton thing is really
Gary good. Payton was a big part, no doubt. I think we really need to reiterate that Wiggins' defense on Tatum was, in my book, the difference maker, and it not only. It not only was his defense, but it took Tatum's mind out of the game. He could not recover. He could not recover. He could not adjust. And because of that, they ended up losing. You can't lose at finals when you're up 2-1. Can't lose that. You can't lose the finals when you're up 2-1. Unless you're LeBron in 2015, where you just
you don't have anybody.
Well, he willed that team. He willed that team of misfits because Kyrie and Kevin Love got sent out for the year, and his talent got them the 2-1. But then, as soon as the dust settled, they were able to win 3 in a row to finish it off. But that's sports, man. Availability is in a lot of ways the greatest ability.
That's in life. Like, what did they say? What did Woody Allen say? Like, 80% of light of success in life is just showing up.
And that
just
really
showing up.
He got that from Sinatra. Said 90% of it is showing up.
Yeah, just show up.
Especially that industry. When you show up on time and you're ready to perform, you're likely going to be relied on, or you're going to be reliable, and people are going to trust you to be reliable, because especially in the entertainment world, it's such an ego-driven industry. It's such a – most people who make it in sports, make it in entertainment, are outcasts in some degree. That's why every time you hear these guys do interviews, nobody believed in me, nobody believed in me, nobody believed in me. Yet I'm sitting there going, you've been catered since you were 12 years old. What do you mean no one believed in you? I think a lot of people imagine that in their heads. And then, of course, actors and – performers, you know, it's a very hard business to get into. So the moment they get that shot and they go through, you know, since it's only so many spots, you know, they become entitled, they become kind of above their heads a little. But as far as surprises, I would say, if I had to predict, I would say the Warriors are going to surprise in that they're not going to be as good as they were last year, which means I really don't believe they're going to repeat.
I don't have them to do, but then again, if you want all of our picks for Sean, but you know what, I'll ask Sean here in a second, but all of our picks as far as Joe, myself, Nick Medina, and Jamie Sweet, go ahead and check out from last week, are it's actually done pretty good, so we're watching that. Since you didn't want to send in your picks, and I understood why, and I apologize to you on the air for kind of do my bad for last year on that. So it's my bad for last year. I'll say that publicly. That's my bad. Who do you have as far as going in the Western?
Yeah, Gerald. So I have Philly coming out of the East.
Looks really good right now. So...
Still early. And I think they'll make the finals in spite of Doc, actually, not because of him. And in the West, I have
the... I said the same thing last year about Westbrook.
Yes, I realized that. So you'll hold me to my feet to the fire if this doesn't bear fruit. I understand
like,
that as well.
My feet were like s'mores after the Lakers.
And out of the West... I have the Dallas Mavericks coming out of the West.
Really? What makes you think? Because Dallas losing Brunson might be considered a big hit for a lot of individuals. What makes you think that they're going to go ahead and be better this
season? I think Luka has reached a point in his career where he fundamentally understands that he needs to put the team here in the playoffs, if they're going to do anything. And Gerald, if you're, like Joe said, these are the most competitive people in the world right now. Whether you play cricket, whether you play professionally basketball, hockey, even poker, these are the most competitive people in the world. And they will do absolutely anything possible to win. He wants to win. He hasn't said it yet, but I remember last year, I was drinking a beer, and actually it was 2 years ago. Gerald's Golden Knights had just knocked the Colorado Avalanche out of the playoffs. Nathan MacKinnon was pissed off. He said, I've been in the league for 8 years and I haven't won jack crap. And the next year, he took the team on his back and the Avs won the Stanley Cup. I actually believe Luka will take the Mavs all the way to the finals. And I think he'll win the MVP while he does it. Similar to Kobe in 2007.
Okay. Well, I hear... Yes, that's going to be happening. Well, like you said, Luka would have to take them. I think that's pretty. If you have faith in Luka, Luka would have to. I just think that they got as far as they did. They had three ball handlers, three guys that were all hitting their shots.
And I think until the Golden State series. Right, but if you remember, I was one of the only few people who actually said I liked what the Dallas Mavericks did at the trade deadline.
We'll see. Christian Wood.
No. At the time, remember? Remember a lot? They were getting a lot of grief on social media for it, but it turns out that Spencer Dinwiddie.
With the Porzingis trade.
With the Porzingis trade, that turned into. They spun it into something. It wasn't gold, but it was something.
Hello, everybody out there. Richard, Starchild, Tycoon Rave. Tycoon Rave wants the Hornets trade to happen. Joe, your thoughts on it? I haven't heard you say much about the Hornets trade. I know we talked to Laker Tom yesterday, and he was actually all for it. I am not convinced on it. I think, again, I'm very leery of bringing Gordon Hayward, and as Paul has said, as the Utah fan that he is, who's been a closer observer of his early years, to try and avoid him at all costs. I think after the injury, he's just not the player he once was. Rozier's a take-it-or-leave-it player. He seems to have no middle ground. You either love him or you hate him. I know that Tycoon Rave is loving him right now. I just think that, for me, I've seen... there's a reason why he was no longer the point guard, the starting point guard on the team at one time. But your thoughts on this, my friend, because... Do you think that's a realistic answer? Is let's say they get the package, which includes Washington, which is now the weekly fancy for Laker Tom. Laker Tom has a fancy for different players each and every week. So this week is PJ Washington, who is the next greatest thing. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread, per se. And he's going into the Hall of Fame next week, just to let everyone know. But your thoughts on the Hornets as a...
You might not be far off with the Basketball Hall of Fame. They let...
I knew
C-plus players in that.
Tom Chambers still isn't in the Hall of Fame.
Washington is a solid player, 37-38%, and he plays pretty good defense, but he is
at what cost? Are you talking about two unprotected picks, Westbrook, for that package?
Well, yes. That's probably.
You might as well do the Indiana trade at that point then, because you actually could. You actually need a guy like Miles Turner.
Mm-hmm.
You actually need that guy. You need him because he does two things. That would be huge. One, it finally puts AD in the spot he wants at all times. The other, he can actually shoot as a big man. And number three, which is actually the most important part, is he spreads the floor. So if you're gonna spend two first round picks that are unprotected, you just do the Indiana trade. If you do the Washington, Rozier, Hayward trade, you tell Mitch, I only got one first round pick that's 8 protected. I wouldn't even give him an unprotected pick for that.
That's something I think that right now that they're talking to Mitch Kupchak. If are the Lakers willing to go all in and try to get those, you know, whatever they can to get him off the team? Because after a performance like yesterday and also on Thursday, it's just very, very.
This trade would have happened with Indy had Miles Turner been a reliable player.
I agree with you on that one.
Let me ask you a question. You've been in locker rooms before. What do you think that locker room is like right now?
What do you think that locker room in the Indiana or Lakers?
With us.
Oh, with the Lakers right now, it's pretty. There's tension. There's a whole bunch of tension filled right now. I know, was it you that said, I don't want to see any more players-only meetings, but you know what? They've got 2 days off to start talking about what they're going to be.
What I said was I don't really want to see that because like a players only meeting let's be honest, like those rarely accomplish anything. A coaching change that usually has a binary effect. It's either very positive or very negative. Look at the Philadelphia Phillies, made a change. Now they're going to the World Series. Just one example there. I don't think players only meetings accomplish very much because you've been together in training camp and possibly pre-camp, and you know one another at this point. And all of a sudden, a few games in, this guy's got an issue with that guy's hotel room, and that's all that is. It's this guy's getting perks that I'm not. It's rarely about what's on the court. Like Joe said, when frustrations boil over, that's when the ego just is a tidal wave. And that's just what happens in those player meetings. They don't accomplish very much. And I don't think it would in this case either, because honestly, Gerald, if you did have a players-only meeting, what's to stop Russ from just completely exploding on everybody? Because that would be, to me, a volcano eventually erupts. And you're creating this situation where if you did something like that, I think he would erupt.
Oh, by the way, just to let you know, Richard, it's no rumor. It is fact. It trip over a ball. And sprained his ankle. Zangerstein, just want to let you know, I would not trade for Daniel Theis, as part of the trade. I would go for Goga Batadze would be the individual. Yeah. That kid still play. I think he's been buried in Indiana. I think if you give him a chance, he might give you some minutes. But, Joe, I think that's what it comes down to with Westbrook is the fact that we're just trying to find him a place off this team ASAP. The organization does not seem as fervent in its efforts to go ahead and do. Every other fan that's out there that loves the Lakers is trying to get Westbrook off the team, except for those few Westbrook supporters, which are dwindling by the minute after they see all the stuff that's gone down. Why isn't the front office doing the same thing and trying to get him off the team as ASAP?
Did Kobe do when he would make a shot?
Yeah. Remember
that little thing he used to do?
Yes. Onions, baby. Onions.
Onions. No one has the balls. Let me just get to the point here. No one has the balls to get into Russell Westbrook's face right here. Tell him who he is. There's a fan that did it, and then he, as soon as Russell came out, he went into the little Joey pack the kangaroo goes in, the little baby. Like, oh, no. This is how most people operate. That's why we never get anything done. Everyone's afraid. They'll say stuff behind the scenes. They'll say it in private. They'll say it to their mom, their brother, their sister, their kids, their friends. Oh, if I was there. They'll write it on the little social media. Oh, they'll do that all day. Who has the balls? And this is the part that would be fun. Let's say I didn't give a rat's behind. Let's just say, right?
You said that yesterday.
Right. Let's say I don't give a rat's behind about the consequences of this question. I get into the media room and LeBron is there. And I go, LeBron, Joe Sorrell, Lakers Fast Break. Gerald Glassford Apprentice. Thank you. LeBron, which one of you guys is going to be the first guy to get into Russell Westbrook's face and tell him he's hurting the team?
That's an excellent question, Joe.
Did you hear that? Did you hear the silence after I said that? Now imagine 20 to 30 reporters in there and LeBron processing that question. I think he'd respect the question, but then he'd probably go into his political correctness mode. Now, rewind. Would this even be a question if Shaq, Kobe, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, would that even be a question? It would have already been done. Get your ass off the team if you're not going to play ball. The question needs to be answered. It needs to be asked. You give a shit? Do you? Doesn't look like it. You took a jump shot with 30 plus seconds left. We were up by one. You don't care. You're chasing a fan. $47 million a year. You're worried about what some fan, random jackhole in a stadium is talking about. Where's your focus? Where's your maturity? You're killing us here. You're killing any chance of LeBron winning a title. That's all he's playing for. He has nothing else to prove. Okay, he's going to win the scoring title, the all-time scoring title, fine. But no one cares, really, okay? LeBron has to win championships. He has to win probably at least one more. To really
cement himself.
I would say sit next to Jordan at that point. He can sit on the same table. I'm never going to say he's going to be better because he's not. There's only two guys that I've ever seen that's not an argument, guys. Number one and 1A is Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. They're the best players I've ever seen. They had no weaknesses, and they had out-of-this-world athleticism. Jordan had that extra, like, quarter inch above Kobe. That's why he goes ahead, too. So LeBron is the best player of his generation. He's doing things that we'll probably never see again. But that's it. It's a longevity thing. It's a numbers thing. But being the greatest, you have to win and win a lot. And right now, LeBron is teetering on that. I'm never going to win with guys like this on this team.
I can't believe we're having this discussion. I really can't. After the year was over, during the player meetings, they asked Russell Westbrook a question. They asked him, "Do you regret anything about this season?" His response, "I didn't get a triple-double." I'm with Joe. Gerald, you've called me the historian of the show, and I'm completely honored that you'd give me that title, man, because I just love the game of basketball.
And hopefully down the road we can create shows in the future for our audience that will touch on that.
Yes, and I just, Joe asked a really, like, the simple question I think all Laker fans just want Russell Westbrook to answer. Do you care? Do you give a bleep?
This doesn't seem, and I just said it in our chat earlier.
Like, he does.
In our chat earlier, it was mentioned on that, and I agree. It just does not seem like he really cares. It just seems like he's going through the motion.
Right.
47 million motion.
Yeah. And if that's the case, go home. Go home. You got your money, man. No one's trying to diss you. No one's trying to. I'm trying to talk as if I was in the locker room, and as a Laker fan, look, I'm not going to disrespect this man. It's no disrespect, Russ. You're a Hall of Famer. You punched your ticket. It's no disrespect to you and your freedom of expression, however you want to go with your fashion. No one's trying to diss you about that either. But do you care? Do you care about this team? Do you care about us? Because it's your sweat equity, but we got tear equity too. And we can match your sweat equity as Laker fans. So I'm just asking you, if you don't care, that's all right. But at least you're admitting it.
He doesn't care.
Just go home. Just go home, man. Just go home.
Love how it always circles around our NBA talk, which we had a great NBA discussion day, but always circles back around to Westbrook. And I just worry about with the Spurs trade, Zangerstein again, Poeltl,
yes.
Jakob Poeltl is good defensive good player. Yeah, I'm not going to dissuade that. But the thing is, really playing him down the stretch in clutch games, he's the worst free thrower in the league, I think, or one of them. And
yes,
somebody shooting 30% from the free throw line, that's always a concern. That's something as far as down the stretch. Are these teams going to go to, hack a Jakob? So that's something that you have to concern yourself with. Go ahead and blame. Sure, he's great the other 40 minutes a game, but when it comes right down to the money minute, going to be able to play. Are you going to be able to play him? Simple as that. That's what I am concerned with. Charlotte, it's just there is no pretty trade. There is no perfect trade that the Lakers can make. And it's going to say, yes, it's got 100%, unlike what Laker Tom says, guaranteeing that these trades that he put in his latest article, which you can catch right now on Lakerholics, guaranteeing that all six of those trade requests that he made, all the six of those trade proposals that he made are going to put the team in. I don't think any one of these trades that have been talked about are a guarantee or shoo-in that they're going to go ahead and move the needle so far that's going to get the Lakers into a playoff contender or Western Conference contender.
You know what I think? I think if they got rid of Westbrook, I think they have a shot.
Well, they could have won 2-1. You're right.
It would be a relief. It would be a relief.
Cathartic. Yes.
It would just be like, oh, thank God.
But there still wouldn't help you as far as your league overall was shooting. For shooting as far as from the
no, but players. They're not going to shoot. He's a big part of why they're bad, too. 8%. So let's say they go to 30. They're not going to stay at 21 unless Westbrook's on the team, probably. But they could go to 30. It's somewhat manageable. If we get lucky and AD and LeBron play 75 games, they'll make the playoffs. You have two. So go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, no, Joe, I was going to say that'd be great, but I think even 30%, we'd still be statistically the worst three-point shooting team ever.
We are so far behind right now. Not ever, Sean, because remember in the 90s when they first put forgetting that decade and a half. That most people forgot about the three-point line. There was some really bad.
What decade? What are you talking about?
The 90s when they first brought out
That doesn't count.
But anyway, I think in the modern era, we'd be the worst.
Yeah, well, that's... No, I knew what you were saying, but I wanted you to clarify. Yeah.
Up until the teens here, the three-point was a luxury.
Yeah, no, that's true. And we're getting off topic because the truth of the matter is Joe's on fire tonight. He's slaying the dragon.
That's crazy because I think I've sucked tonight, but thank you, Sean. I appreciate it.
No. That was another great point, Joe. I didn't really.
He's gonna get on
his
dragon. He's gonna search out another, somebody else. Fly another dragon and chop them up. Oh, where'd I learn that from?
I actually think if you did trade him, you'd go on a winning streak. I really do. I think that is in the cards.
Chomp that kid up in half. Boom. Oh, spoilers!
Just to conclude the talk here, Gerald, I just wanted to say this: I don't think the Pelicans are going to be as formidable as people think they are this year. I think they'll be pretty good, but I don't expect them to be a top 4 or 5 seed in the West. And Detroit really looks like they've got something there with Ivy and Cunningham. Detroit's definitely one of those teams where the stock is steadily going up right now. Seems to me all they're missing right now is a versatile big man, and I think they can develop a core there that in a couple years could surprise some people.
Well, they could already have that on their roster. Right now, coming off the bench.
And my goodness, let's see, the Charlotte Hornets had Durin, decided, no, we don't need him. Then the Knicks had him. And you've also got to play Obi Toppin, too, and decide what you're going to do with him. But nope, we don't need Durin either. And he just lands in Detroit, just magically.
I think it was for three first-round picks.
It was, yeah, okay. Fair enough, but to me it was eerily similar to
I'm sorry, that was a different trade.
Oklahoma City
threw three first round picks for one of the other players.
The big brain on Gerald.
Big brain didn't remember the kid.
It was smart mother.
Oh
my gosh. It's not the Williams kid. It was the other kid that got some panned out as well.
Williams.
No, not Williams. Williams, they got with their own pick.
It was
the pick.
You guys know that.
I know what you're talking about.
Half the people listening to this don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, about Oklahoma City. But anyways.
We're basketball nerds, Joe. What can we say?
We're nerding it up right now, right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But before we go, guys, and I'm going to try to reach out to Laker Tom. Hopefully he'll be able to go ahead and work out something for Tuesday. But definitely Joe reaching the handout of doom right there at you. If you're watching in 3D, he's going to go ahead and be part of what's going on Wednesday night as far as the post game. Sure, maybe even tomorrow. We'll see what happens. Hopefully some news will break that the Lakers will go ahead and finally something in a positive manner for getting rid of Russell Westbrook or demoting him or doing something that will hopefully help the team get in a positive direction going into Denver. But guys, before we head on out, again, this is going to be a tough road ahead where you've got Denver, Minnesota, and Denver again as your next three games. Any kind of positivity you can go ahead and swing our fans any which way before we head on out? Joe's already said no. So, Sean, anything? I mean, because it seems like they're intent on keeping Russell Westbrook until they get something that they just can't pass.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be Eeyore here from Winnie the Pooh, Gerald, but there's just this dark cloud hanging over us. And get your raincoat. It's going to be a really, really rainy three games.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet.
Mr. Witch and Mr. Light have an agreement with a group of hags who call themselves the Hourglass Coven. You see, they can come and go into the Witchlight Carnival as they please to steal from naughty patrons. But what happens when those patrons come back years later looking for those lost things? Find out as Wizards and Wine takes on the wild beyond the Witchlight. Two tables playing through the same adventure. One table more thoughtful, kind, and bold in their actions. The other table more decisive, more adventurous, a little more prone to taking risks. The actions of each table influences the gameplay of the other. Find out how it all shakes out with Wizards and Wine, the wild beyond the Witchlight. You can catch the podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, and you can catch the live stream on Mondays. Find us on YouTube and Facebook. We hope to see you at the carnival very soon.
Joe, any last thoughts before we head on out?
I see 0-6. And then things are going to get really bad. You think of it bad now? It's going to get bad. And
do you see Jeannie firing anyone?
No. She just re-upped. Six? She just re-upped the car salesman. No. I have no idea why she...
Don't think she actually considered that and fire him.
How?
You already signed.
For who? Who are we going to bring in? Karambas?
You know
something? You going to put Karambas in there?
These people always... Gerald's right. He's got a point. These people always convince themselves that the money doesn't show up on the salary cap sheet. So if it's not working, I'll just hire somebody else.
I don't think she'll fire him during the season, but afterwards, maybe if it is a bad season like Joe is anticipating already, then I do see Rob Pelinka very much on the hot seat.
Could settle this by just sitting Westbrook. You could set it.
And I don't, like you said, it just takes cojones. It just takes some cojones.
Just set it down. You're Russ. Not getting anything out of it. What difference does it make? You're going to have to pay him either way. You might as well keep him off the team. He's infected this. It's not going to change. This guy has no accountability. He has no shame, no respect for anyone except himself.
Because in any other job, if you were underperforming and you're also being very passive aggressive, and it depends on the job, but for most jobs, you would be sent home, and you might be sent home with pay.
Great point, Blue Magic. He said that no one has joined the season more than Frank Vogel, and he's getting paid for this year.
Yeah, Frank's getting paid.
Good for him, because he got scapegoated,
and Rob got rewarded,
and
for,
he got
for
treated...
the same results. I don't understand this. Frank got punished for the same results that Rob got rewarded for. It's amazing.
I agree with you. Just very much.
Remember when I told you guys before we got on air? Rationalization. People will rationalize what's okay here and not okay here for the same things. That's a dangerous thing when you do that. That's what creates problems. That's why we have a lot of problems all over things, because of that kind of thinking. You're rationalizing. You're not allowing the talent to dictate what you should do. You made a bad call, fix it. You can fix it right now by eliminating it. That's it. There's no other way. This is the stuff you guys all signed up for. All the NBA PA stuff and all the owners discussions. LeBron has been in the league has been in the league 20 years. He's gone through three collective bargaining agreements, I believe. Three. He's been a part of three. So he can take blame. Those guys, Chris Paul, you guys can take blame for what you created in the NBA, because you guys are the ones that signed it off. Here you are. Now you got to eat it. It's something
that Sigh said it all. That Sigh said it all.
This is the part. By the way, I wasn't clowning you guys on your history. That was more of a compliment. But if you're going to get something out of this show, ladies and gentlemen who are watching, you guys are going to get the reasons why 100% of the time. If we don't know, we'll do it on the next show.
Paul is looking like a prophet. That's all I'll say. Paul, fire him now.
For who?
I know.
Who's going to take over? Handy?
I already heard.
What's Randy Fun doing right now?
I already heard the Mike D'Antoni rumors for both L.A. and Philadelphia.
Yeah, and then my favorite part is anytime D'Antoni is a favorite somewhere, I have to hear Stephen A. Smith get mad. That might be fun.
Might be funny indeed. But if you have any questions for us, always at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter. Always as well, Lakers Fast Break on Facebook. You can always share it there. Joshua Dietz is one of our favorite Facebook followers, so thank you so much. Saw J. John Cerceda the other day. Truly appreciate him stopping by as well. Matt Lickey, Malt, thank you so much for going ahead and being on and saying that, yes, he said Philly sucks, dude. He says, what is Sean smoking for Philadelphia, the pick on Philadelphia? Maybe he's smoking something good, but you never know. With Joel Embiid, he could finally get into shape because he looks kind of out of shape to me. I think that's been said by a lot of people. So if he ever gets into shape, he could go and maybe even Harden could go a long way, but we'll see. And Paciano for some time.
People forget that Maxi is right there and he's coming. Like I really think people are sleeping on this man.
I'm not sleeping on Maxi at all. I just think it's hard for him to go ahead and blossom right next to a guy that dribbled our 20.
Yeah, I think Gerald, I think there's going to become a time where he's going to just force Doc's hand, where you're going to have to put the ball in his hand, because I'd rather have the ball in his hand than dribble, 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 dribble.
Well, right now they're accepting of that, but they are 1-3. They are ahead of the Lakers, that's for sure. So we'll see what happens.
I'm good with my picks. I'm good with my picks.
I'm not going to ask you to change them, so you're good with your picks. Right now it's just early in the season, 3-4 games in for all these teams. So, by the way, it's Osman Dieng. It was the one that just got traded for. First round. But Joe Sorrell, you're doing your Laker Tom impersonation. Any last thoughts before we head on out, my friend? Going to stay on mute, or you just
Joe?
Why?
Sure. Yeah.
Who said I was muted?
The screen said you were muted.
Oh no, that was just messing with you guys.
Fair enough, indeed. But want to thank so much all the great YouTube chatters again. Zangerstein, Paul. He wants Mark Jackson or Terry Stotts.
Dang. Okay, so can we put this to
the Mark
rest,
Jackson
please?
Thing? No, yeah. The Mark Jackson thing is no. Ever since he made that call in the bubble, and that just shows
what call?
Me. I have said it on more than one occasion on this show.
I want to hear it.
I think that's a bad call to go ahead and put Caruso in the starting lineup. This was the deciding game of the bubble, and what did they end up going and doing? They blew away Miami Heat.
You know what my favorite one of all time is in basketball? Rick Bucher saying Kobe will never wear a Laker uniform again. That was the best one.
He's almost like invisible now. He's still around, but yeah, he's just not the player that he was.
Jack Haley, God rest his soul, Jack Haley guaranteed Carlos Boozer was coming to the Lakers. This is before he was washed, and we never saw him again after that.
His son is good. His son is good, just FYI. Watch out for
I'll pay attention to that. Haley's comment?
What about the Van Gundy brothers? Oh, my God. Now we're getting into redunculous stuff that's out there. So this is just getting redunculous. We're not firing Ham. They just paid him a lot of money. They're not firing.
Why don't we just get, we'll get Hubie Brown. We'll get Bill Walton. We'll get, who else we got? Is Snee Snapper Jones still alive? Or is he gone?
Yes, yeah. He passed away.
Rest in peace, Steve. Yes. But by the way, Gerald, before we go, I'd like to pass on behalf of the Lakers Fast Break, some heartfelt condolences to former NBA referee Tony Brown.
Yes, he passed away last week.
He was 55. He lost his battle with cancer. My dad lost him to cancer. It's a vicious disease, but Tony was a good guy, and I always admired his refereeing. There's a group of them. Tony's one of them. Monty McCutcheon. There's just a bunch of good refs that the NBA has missed. And just heartfelt condolences. It's very sad. 55 is a life too short, sir.
I will say that the chat has just been sensational once again on this impromptu NBA conversation. We're going to hold weekly NBA conversations because you're asking for it, and we're delivering it for you. We're going to try a whole bunch of good things to just try and do what we can to make an experience for you here at the Lakers Fast Break. Go ahead and check out Ox 1947 today at LakersBall.com. Go ahead and read the number one Lakers blogger that's out there, Tom, and all of his... interesting. I'll say interesting. Instead of crazy, instead of great, I'll just do the in-between. Interesting. Lakers proposals, the trade proposals that are out there. He's got a few of them at his page, LakerHolics.com, plus our good friend Jamie Sweet, 5 Things articles as well. Magic Tom Wong. Well, you know what? Hopefully you and Magic Tom Wong can go ahead and hopefully you'll be able to hold down the fort on Wednesday, but looking forward to a great show that you guys are going to be running on Wednesday. Maybe we'll pop one on Tuesday if I can get a hold of Laker Tom, but that's what I mean. What do you mean? All right, but guys, we're heading on out. This is going off the rails once again, but thanks so much for watching and listening. Please go ahead and check us out and subscribe today. If you're on YouTube, subscribe today. If you're on Facebook, like the page Lakers Fast Break. If you do, it is sincerely appreciated. You've been a part of our growing community, and I'm just overwhelmed by the great support we've gotten over the past month. Thank you so much for doing so. Thank you so much for being part of what we do. And we'll see you at least Wednesday for sure. Joe, man on the board here. The Laker Tom guy in the ship. If he's still the Lakers Fast Break, might even show up Tuesday. Who knows? It all depends on what's going on in the NBA. But we'll certainly cover it as only we can right here at the Lakers Podcast.